Good Monday evening and welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. And we're coming to you from down in the market on this quite pleasant evening despite the day that was in it. And by all accounts, we're in for a good day tomorrow. The forecast is for sunshine from start to finish. So get down there and enjoy the day and even get down to the Chin live broadcast, which will be going on also tomorrow over on the Chin stage, and you'll hear all about that during the program. And this program, it is brought to you in part by the generous contribution that I receive from the Irish Village Group of Companies. And as I was driving past the Irish Village there a few moments ago, lots of activity, even on a Monday night. Head down there, there'll be lots of action. And of course, tomorrow being Canada Day, they get underway good and early. And down on I noticed Neil Emberg is down there tomorrow, and also over on Preston Street, Big Mojo. But there's music going on in the Poorhouse, in the Heart and Crown on Preston Street, and over at the Irish Village. So lots going on tomorrow. But I also noticed that the Cape Breton Chorale Unisong has the massed choir from across Canada at 10 o'clock. And as far as I recall, that may be up at Parliament Hill. And then the Cape Breton Chorale Unisong, that's at with the NSC Orchestra at 2:30, and another performance at 7:30. And something that's always enjoyable to go to as a quarter group like that. Also coming up this week, the Ottawa Gaels, the ladies are playing St. Michael's, and that's at 1 o'clock on the 5th. And the men's, they're playing St. Vincent's. And those games happen out at the Gaelic Grounds on Hunt Club Road out there near Uplands. And on the 5th also, there's a concert down at St. Bridget's. And I think that it's 8 o'clock start, as far as I recall, on that. July 26th, mark your calendar for a Cayley out at Van Cleek Hill. And if you would like your kids to get involved in Gaelic football also, July 14th to July 18th, Immaculata High School, the Ottawa Gaels have summer camp. And that will include Gaelic football drills and games in the morning until lunch. And then swimming and arts and crafts and Irish storytelling and other things in the afternoon. $150 for one child, $225 for two. And that includes five lunches and morning and afternoon snacks. Tonight's programme, we're going to talk to David Keating. And David, he joined the Eli Roisin when it came across from Ireland and came up the St. Lawrence and visited Quebec City. And we'll also meet Great Big Sea. But first, let's brush up on our Irish and talk about some food.
Tiret, my name is Liam O'Wenley. There are no books required for this course. Simply sit back and prepare to learn or relearn a range of Irish language expressions that you can then use in your everyday life. The featured words and phrases are easy to learn, lessons lasting approximately 10 minutes each. I will speak the phrase in English, and then I'll say the same thing in Irish. I will then go on to the next phrase. So, let's begin. Food. Ordering food is a perfect opportunity to practice your Irish. So listen and repeat. I am hungry. Tá ocrus orm. We are hungry. Tá ocrus orin. The children are hungry. Tá ocrus na páistí. Breakfast is at 8. Beg an breakfasta a hocht. Let's meet for lunch. Fúil hamís. Le chéile don lón. We eat dinner in the evening. Imid an dinair tra nóna. I am hungry. Let's meet for lunch. Tá ocras orm, bolimish le chéile dan lón. We eat dinner in the evening when the children are hungry. Ihimid an dinair tra nóna nuair atá ocras na páistí. Let's meet for breakfast. Bolimish le chéile dan mricfásta. I am hungry. Let's meet for dinner. Tá ocras orm. Bhuail hamís le chéile don dinéir. He had toast every morning. Bhí toasta aige gach maidin. I prefer coffee to tea. Is fearr liom café gnaw tea. She eats cereal, cornflakes for supper. Ain she granvar, kaloga arur, dun siper. We have a snack at 11 in the morning. Bein smile beugle nehagin gach majin erahein deug. I like a sandwich for lunch. Is mahlum kapure dun loam. Would you like a ham sandwich or a toasted cheese sandwich? Wailat kapure ilius, nu kapure kosche toast alte. My favourite lunch is vegetarian panini. Morawa loin, na panini gan foul. Can I have a bottle of sparkling water, please? Bowalum bude lishke kippe, le the hull. I eat 5 portions of fruit and vegetables every day. Ihim kuig chid, the hurhi agus the glasri gach law. I would like a toasted ham sandwich for lunch. Bowalum capere livosh toastalte dun loam. I have coffee and toast for breakfast. Bean cafe agus toasta agum dun vric fosta. I have coffee at 11 in the morning. Bean cafe agum egehain deag ermaidin. I would like a cheese sandwich for lunch. Bo walum capere kosha den loam. Would you like soup? Wailat amre. I never eat a starter. Ni ihim reav via reav. We love junk food. Is brawlin bia kanta. We eat fish on Fridays. Ihimid iask eranine. I'm a meat and two veg person. Far fiol agus glossary mishe. I'm a vegetarian. Fiol shantor mishe. My son is allergic to peanuts. Ni feder le mawak pish halun a ihe. I never eat meat. Ni ihim fiol ariv. I would like soup as a starter. Bo walum anra. Mare of Khursa. Now try saying we love fish. Is Brawling Isk. Would you like to come to dinner? While at Tacht Chondiner. We are having a dinner party on Saturday. Be kosher diner again Erin Saharn. I'm inviting 6 guests. Ta Kirde. Tuka agum da hesher. We need caterers to help. Ta lonadori ektastoil chan kuna vahort. The guests arrive at 8. Tukig nahiana erahocht. And combining some of these phrases. We need caterers to help with our dinner party. Talon adori tastoil, chunkun of a hort leshen gosher dinner. I'm inviting 6 guests to dinner on Saturday. Ta kiritoka gum de hesher, tacht chig dinner erin sahern. Now try saying we are having a dinner party. Ta mid chun kosher dinner a vehagun. Now can you say, would you like to come to dinner on Saturday? Wailat tacht chun diner de sahern.
Recently, the Roisin paid a visit to Canada to help celebrate Quebec's 400 years. And David Keating of the Embassy of Ireland joined the Roisin at Gaspé and spent some time on board on its voyage up the St. Lawrence River. David is with me and he's going to tell us a little about the Irish Navy and the trip on the boat and the significance of it. Welcome to the Gaelic Hour, David.
Thanks very much, Austin.
Tell us a bit about the Irish Navy, first of all.
Well, the ship that came over, the Roisin, is a patrol vessel. Most of the work that the Roisin would do and most of the work that the other naval ships would do, there's eight ships in total in the Navy, involves what would be maybe considered Coast Guard work, search and rescue, fishery protection, drug interdiction, and that would be off the coast of Ireland in the Atlantic and then in the Celtic Sea, which is south of Ireland, between Ireland and France.
I know years ago that fishery protection was a major role, and with the scarcity of the fisheries, is that still as big a role, or would drug interdiction now be of higher prominence?
Well, from talking to the lads on the ship, they're kind of divided into two distinct missions, because they would see fishery protection as something they would be doing constantly. Ireland has responsibility for a large part of the Atlantic there, the exclusive economic zone. So we've been enforcing fishery protection for Ireland, but also for the European Union as a whole. So any of the Irish ships, for example, Irish fishing vessels that would be operating there, they would be in constant touch with Irish naval headquarters in Cork, in the south of Ireland. They would all have transponders telling the Navy what exactly they're doing. So the Navy would be kind of constantly monitoring their progress, and then they would be regularly searching the vessels that they come across. These would be French and Spanish vessels, as well as Irish, British vessels and others. They would have records of the people they've seen before, and they would be kind of constantly looking, especially if they haven't boarded a ship in a while, they'd be looking out for them. Then on the other side, say for example with drug interdiction, they were explaining to me that that's much more intelligence led. That when, for example, that they get word from the guards, the National Police Force in Ireland, or from customs, to go and check a particular ship that's coming from Africa or South America or wherever it's coming from, to check and see what exactly that ship's been doing. And so they wouldn't be doing that kind of stop and search thing regularly, just because of the amount of ships that would be in that channel. So they would be trying to pick particular ships that people are interested in.
And you mentioned they're also then involved in search and rescue.
Yeah, that would be another primary function. Again, you know, if you look at a map and you see where Ireland is located, we're sort of the last point of contact if you're leaving Europe. So luckily, and thank God, there hasn't been any major aircraft disasters, but you would often see aircraft that have to turn around and land at Shannon Airport, for example, before they kind of commit themselves to going across the Atlantic. The Navy would often be involved, again with fishery vessels who get into trouble. We've had a few unfortunate accidents off the coast of Ireland in the last few years where fishing vessels have gone down. The yachts get in trouble again, the Navy has been called out. And of course the Navy were involved in the Air India disaster.
And of course the big one a few years back was when the submarine...
Well, that's the other most recent one with the Shikatumi, mm-hmm. the Canadian submarine. And it was actually this ship, the Roisin, who went to their aid off the coast of Sligo.
Okay.
And then I think it was two of the officers who were most seriously injured were winched off by an Irish Coast Guard helicopter and brought to hospital in Sligo.
Right.
And unfortunately, one of them died anyway. Yeah.
So the Roisin then come across for the 400th anniversary of Quebec. You got on board in Gaspé.
I did, yeah.
That must have been an interesting experience.
It was. The whole effort was kind of at the initiative of the Quebec provincial government. As you know, they're having events throughout the year for the 400th anniversary. So the this particular event was the Rendezvous Naval in Quebec City. And again, for a lot of the events, there's a couple of countries that the Quebec government and the Canadian federal government are anxious to have involved. And Ireland is one of those, as a founding nation of Quebec, along with Britain and France, and also the United States, because a lot of people in the US now would be descended from people who arrived in Quebec in the 19th and the 20th centuries. So when they invited the Irish Navy over for the Rendezvous Naval in Quebec City, and they also requested that they attend at Gaspé. First of all, there was a memorial to an Irish ship, the Carracks, which sank off the coast of Gaspé in 1847. So there was going to be a ceremony at Gaspé at this memorial site to mark that ship that went down. A lot of the people who survived that wreck settled in the Gaspé area, and their descendants are still there today. And there was also a Canadian ship there, the St. John's,
mm-hmm.
and a French ship, the Cassard. They were also going on to the Rendezvous Naval in Quebec City. So there was also ceremonies at the Canadian War Memorial and a French memorial in the town. And again, the Irish Navy all three navies were represented at all three ceremonies. So,
mm-hmm. So you then moved on to Montreal the ship moved down to Montreal for a few days.
Well, actually, Gaspé was only the first leg. Then we got on board in Gaspé, we went down to St. Lawrence,
yeah.
and stopped in Quebec City for a few days.
Okay.
So I sailed in the gunnery officer's cabin down the St. Lawrence River for 2 days on board the Rochine, which was a great experience. The officers and the crew made me feel very welcome. And they didn't give me too hard a time when I got a little seasick the first night.
Right.
The next day I had the opportunity to basically just see what life on board the ship was like. So I got to watch them. They were running through some drills for firefighting. So on the back of the ship, I got to watch poor sailors. They had to get into their gear and get their hoses hooked up and get the foam onto fire in under 7 minutes, which some managed to do and some didn't. I also got to take part in an abandoned ship drill. I suppose that's one of the things about travelling with the Navy is that they kind of cruise the ship as if they could sink at any moment. So that was one of the first things we did when we left port was you were given a survival suit and explained where you would go in the event of a drill. And we were even shown how to launch the life raft if it came to it, that there was no one else there, which... I can't imagine how bad things would have got if they were relying on the diplomats to launch the life raft. There you go.
How many crew approximately would be on the Rochine?
It's a pretty small ship, and it's a lot more automated than a lot of the other ships that are in the Irish Navy. It's only a few years old, so there's only, I think, about 47 total on board. That's officers and crew. As I said, a lot of the systems on board the ship are automated, so... For example, the chief engineer was showing me the room. He can sit at a computer screen and basically monitor both engines and all the systems on board the ship just from his Windows XP, the same as anyone else sitting in their office.
And what length is the Rochine approximately?
It's about 50 metres, 60 metres,
okay.
Something like
okay.
that. I mean, it's a pretty big ship when you're standing beside it on the port.
Right, but for 47 people on board,
it gets a little crowded, yeah. And when you're out at sea and if the sea gets rough, it can seem... a lot smaller, yeah.
Yeah.
But they made me feel very welcome, and I know they had a great time themselves. After the cruise down to St. Lawrence, we were out in Quebec City,
right.
And the captain of the ship is Lieutenant Commander Declan Power. So the captain had a number of protocol visits to make with the captains of the other ships, to Governor General Michel Jean, and also to Jean Charest. The Premier of Quebec, so I accompanied him on this call to Mr. Charest. And while the captain was doing that, then the crews were involved in the program of events that had been arranged. So they were playing sports. There was canoe races, a floor hockey tournament, which I think the Canadian Navy won because they felt obliged to. And then the ship also played Gaelic football, kind of a mini tournament on the Saturday. They played against the Quebec Patriots, and then also against the Montreal Shamrocks. Now, maybe a little unfair because they had to play two games in a row, so they won the first one against Quebec, but probably the hard work they've been doing during the week, they suffered a bit
probably
in the second game.
Confined quarters doesn't allow them probably to be as light on their feet.
Well, they did have a gym on board, but they explained to me it's very difficult to use the gym when you're at sea.
Staying on land, how did you sense the response to the general population was to the Irish being there?
Well, it was actually pretty easy to get a sense of it because you just had to look at the queues to get on board the ship every morning. And the ship was open to the public all the time in Quebec City. And they had huge numbers come on board, 700 in one morning alone. And there was one day, Friday, I think, was quite wet. it didn't really deter people. So, and the guys themselves were saying, because they were in uniform most of the time when they were walking around, even kind of in their free time, but they were constantly being stopped in the street and being told how happy everyone was to see the Irish Navy in town, and explaining that, you know, their grandparent was Irish and this kind of thing. So they got a great reception, and I know that the lads themselves all had a great time.
Right. Go back to being on board, you know, spending long numbers of weeks out at sea, etc. Conditions can be somewhat confined. I presume that there's like the food on board, you got to experience that.
Yeah, well, not the, I mean, they go out at, for 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And but they do have pretty good social facilities. I mean, they have the gym on board, and they're not allowed alcohol when they're at sea, but they all, there's three kind of messes on board where people can relax and they're in their off time, and they're all equipped with big screen TV and DVD player and satellite television, so they get, you know, their sport and their movie channels and all that. And then, as you said, the food is pretty good on board as well.
And I take it that this day and age, they'd all have access to internet, email, where they can keep in touch with
them. Yeah, there's like a little mini internet cafe on board, and that's very important for, especially the most more senior people who would be leaving families and children behind.
Right.
The way they work it is that they normally spend 2 years on board, assigned to a ship, and then 2 years assigned to a shore position. So the 2 years on ship can be a bit difficult.
Bit like a diplomatic posting.
A little, but in a way, tougher, because a lot of them are married to other sailors, so they have to try and time it as to who can be ashore and to look after the kids, and that gets pretty tricky for them, yeah.
So you continued on after Quebec, you moved down into to Montreal, and had the ship was available to the public also.
It was, yeah. So again, after the events in Quebec, they went further on down to St. Lawrence. Now, I left them after that. There was a less hectic schedule for them down there.
Right.
So they got a little bit of a chance to relax, and again they were open to the public down there. There was a reception on board for the local Irish community, but they were there for 2 or 3 days, and that was more of a kind of an R&R opportunity for the crew. As I said, normally they have their regular patrol routine, so even coming across the Atlantic, they were training all the time, doing all the various drills. So that was the Montreal leg was kind of earmarked for them to have a couple of days break before they got back into it. So after Montreal, they went on to Halifax, and they were tied up at the Halifax naval base, and coincidentally enough, they were actually tied up beside the submarine, the Chicoutimi, that they had come to rescue a couple of years before.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there was a reception on board for the Irish community in Nova Scotia, and there was a number of Nova Scotia ministers there as well, and local business people.
Would you say that the visit of the Roisin elevated the profile of Ireland and the Irish in Quebec and in the Maritimes?
Oh, absolutely. For all the work that an embassy can do, and we're a small enough operation anyway, but even if we were, say, a big operation, having a diplomat come or do lunch or meet with people or speak to a crowd at a school, it doesn't have the impact that something like a Navy ship does. The fact is that it's a piece of Ireland, it's sovereign territory when you come on board, and it's like a concrete example of the modern Ireland, and being able to see what kind of people Ireland produces, because let's say the Navy and the Defence Force in general, I think, are some of the best people you'll meet, and a great example of the modern Irish nation.
On that note, David, let's take a break. I have a piece of music, and you are listening to the Gaelic Hour, and we'll be back with you.
They say that the lakes of Killarney are fair. No stream like the Liffey could ever compare. If it's water you want, you'll find nothing so rare as the stuff that's made down by the ocean. The sea, oh, the sea is grog yellow grey. Long may it roll between England and me. It's a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. My God, we're surrounded by water. Tom Moore made his waters meet fame and renown. A great lover of anything dressed in a crown.
proud. With brandy the bandy of Saxon he drowned, and thrown e'er a drop in the ocean. The sea, oh the seas, frog young and free, long may it roll between England and me. It's a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water.
Though the Scots have their whiskey, the Welsh have their leeks, their poets are paid about tenpence a week. Provided no harsh words on England they speak.
Oh Lord, what a price for devotion. The sea, oh the seas, grog young and free, long may it roll between England and me. It's a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water. And sense they drown both in the void, and partition throw into the ocean. The sea, oh the seas, grog young and free, long may it roll between England and me. It's a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water.
Now the Danes came to Ireland with nothing to do, but their aim of the plundered out Irish they slew.
Well, you will in your Viking, says Brian Boru, and he threw them back into the ocean. The sea, oh the seas, grog young and free, long may it roll between England and me. It's a sure guarantee that somehow we'll be free. Thank God we're surrounded by water. The sea, oh the seas, grog young.
Hello there, this is Daniel O'Donnell here, and you're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. Keep the dial where it is.
Big Brothers Big Sisters is an organization that focuses on matching young kids with positive adult role models. The little brothers and little sisters in our program are between the ages of 6 and 18. Our adult volunteers are over 18 and have been thoroughly screened. Through our programs, we strive to give little brothers and little sisters the chance to build positive relationships with their big brother or big sister. Together, they are able to share similar interests and engage in fun activities. If you are interested in a role model for your child or are interested in becoming a volunteer, please call Big Brothers Big Sisters Ottawa at 613-247-4776, extension 315 or 309, or visit our website at www.bbbso.ca.
One man set himself the task 10 years ago of recording some of the old ways of farming that have virtually disappeared in his own lifetime. Michael Lyons from the parish of Taghmaconnell in South Roscommon.
This is the parish of Taghmaconnell in South Roscommon. I was born here. In the late 40s, my father was farming and out working for hire with horses, cutting hay and corn. At that time, most of the work on the farm was done by horses, except for the thrashing, which was done by either steam or tractor. In the early 50s, the tractor became more popular and the horse started to disappear off the land. My father taught me the old ways of farming, and this video shows some of these old ways, as well as the transition from horse to tractor and other aspects of life in rural Ireland at that time.
To purchase your copy of the Old Ireland DVD, visit www.thegaelichour.ca and follow the links.
Do you want to discuss Chinese culture? Want to find out more about Beijing 2008? Missed the latest strange news story? Be a part of the Beyond Beijing family.
Beyond Beijing.
Visit www.cribeyondbeijing.com and join the Talk China forum. Experience the real China from your own computer. Listen to Beyond Beijing, weekdays on China Radio International.
little Irish village with the Heart and Crown is the ideal place to find a good pint in a warm atmosphere. The Snug Pub, cosy, well-appointed alehouse with an inviting fireplace and intimate coves for small groups. Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, the Black Rose, complete the Irish village. Sit on the patio, enjoy the buzz of the market. If it's a planned party or a casual visit, the Irish village is the ideal spot. Music, food and drink in a welcoming atmosphere. It can only be the Irish village.
The Almond Celt Fest gets underway July 10th to July 13th, and it includes performances by Alexis MacIsaac, Buddy MacDonald, Greenwich Mean Time, Hadrian's Wall. So I see Kyle Fellhaber and his band are out there also, and Matt Peppel. Keep that weekend open and head out to Almond on July 10 to 13 for a wonderful, wonderful Celtic music festival.
You are listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and we're chatting with David Keating. And David is coming to the end of his posting here in Ottawa, having been here for 3 years. And time flies in when you're enjoying yourself. How has Ottawa been for you, David?
I have to say I really enjoyed myself until this winter when Ottawa betrayed me.
Are we talking the hockey team or the weather?
Well, both, I suppose. Mainly I was thinking of the weather. It was maybe made a bit more difficult by the fact that I knew I was going home this summer, but I found the snow now this year was particularly bad. But having said that, I've been here for 3 years with my fiance, and we had a great time. We've really enjoyed it here, enjoyed Ottawa and enjoyed Canada as a whole. It's been a great opportunity to meet and get to know a whole other culture. I suppose when we were coming over here, we didn't think there would be that much of a difference between Ireland and Canada, like kind of both Western English-speaking countries. But when you do arrive, you find there's a whole new world to discover. And everything from learning French to getting to experience those winters to having summer in someone's cottage for a weekend. So we really, really enjoyed it here.
What would you say was the highlight if you were to look back over the time?
Well, it's probably kind of two highlights. There's the personal and the professional. On a professional level, when Mary McAleese, President of Ireland, was here last year, she was in Toronto to open the Ireland Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so that visit was just a great thing to be a part of. She was down in Toronto for a couple of days. We had three or four major functions where you just saw the Irish community come out in droves in Toronto. We had 600 people at one ball. And just exhilarating to be a part of that and to see the impact that Ireland's had on a major country like Canada. Mm. Again, the Navy were there as well, had the Eli Aetna, and to see Ireland Park, where people would have come ashore from emigrant ships 150 years ago, and now you had the flagship of the Irish Navy sitting there, and then a reception on board, the helicopter deck. I just was imagining what those people might have thought if they could ever have imagined how things would turn out for Ireland. So that was, as I said, the professional highlight. The personal highlight would have been, again, last summer when, for our summer holidays, we drove from Ottawa over to the Rocky Mountains. So myself and my fiance, and then my brother and sister came over from Ireland as well, and another friend of ours. So five Irish people in a small car driving from Ottawa to the Rockies. But we had an amazing time. 3 days drive across Ontario, and we stopped off Thunder Bay and Wawa, and then we went off to Manitoba, went to see the Manitoba, I don't think they call it the Manitoba Stampede, but a local rodeo, which again was an amazing experience. And then we went further on, ended up camping in Lake Louise for a few days. And unfortunately had to come back to work after that, but they would have been the two big highlights. And we would have really liked to have been able to travel up to the Yukon as well, but we just couldn't manage it.
So when you head back now, you will be stationed in headquarters for a period of time?
That's right, yeah. I'm going to be posted back to our disarmament and non-proliferation section, which I suppose is kind of self-explanatory. They would be involved in kind of policy about nuclear non-proliferation, and there was recently a major diplomatic conference in Dublin about banning cluster munitions.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Canada played a big part in that, but they would have been the section which was taking the lead on that work. And so I'd imagine then the next big thing for me will be taking that work forward and getting the cluster munitions agreement finalised between all the signatories.
And normally you would be posted back for another 3 years approximately, and then a foreign posting again?
That's most likely what will happen, yeah. So it'll probably be 2 or 3 years in Dublin and then a posting abroad again, but no idea where that might be as yet.
Right.
All I can say is it won't be Canada again.
and I said in all honesty, would be Canada's last.
Well, thanks very much.
And of course, there's a big event coming around the corner, and that yourself and Anne are the wedding bells are about to ring.
Well, we are. I was wondering whether I should mention that as one of the other highlights.
Well,
but we got engaged in Quebec City up on the old walls.
Okay.
But the 6th of September we're getting married in Kilkenny, where Anna's from.
Right.
And we're doing our honeymoon in Ireland. We're driving along the west coast and up into Antrim and the Giant's Causeway.
Right.
So after 3 years of being on planes, we decided that we'd stick at home for this one.
Well, David, I want to say thanks a million for your time in Ottawa and all the help you've been to me on the Gaelic Hour.
Oh, you're very welcome.
On other levels also. And I know the Irish community have benefited greatly from you being here and the support that you've provided and the help you've given. And I wish you the best. And if you do ever get the opportunity to come back to Canada, I know you probably will be jumping to say yes. And I know Canada would be delighted to have you back.
Well, thank you very much. And I'd just like to thank you as well, Austin, because I'm sure all your listeners don't know all the work that you do for the Irish community here in Ottawa. And I'd just like to thank you on their behalf.
Thank you.
The only thing I fear is just the heat rising off the road. The rainbows I keep chasing keep on fading before I find my cross of gold. And more and more I'm thinking that the only treasures that I'd ever know are long ago and far behind, wrapped up in my memories of home. Home was a swimming hole and a fishing pole and a field of the muddy road between my toes. Home was a back porch swing where I was sick and Mama sang Amazing Grace while she hung out the pole. With my daddy there and the smell of Sunday supper on the shore. My footsteps carry me away, but in my mind I'm always going home.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM, and I'm sitting down with Alan Doyle and Bob Pallett. Everyone knows that you two guys are with Great Big Sea, and you just released your new CD, Fortune's Favour.
That's right. We've been talking about ourselves in this fashion for a number of days now and bragging about how good the record is.
And what about how good you guys are?
That's right. Yeah. And it's an adequate reflection of our superior playing ability.
Well, obviously, you have no difficulty in appreciating your own work.
No, I was saying earlier when I got here that all this talking about myself, it's given me a false sort of delusion of grandeur, you know. I'm starting to believe it.
I suggest you phone your brother. Allow him to
go home and you'll be brought back down to earth.
Yeah,
anyway, like, guys, reflecting on the CD and your musical career, and I was reading some of the notes with it. You guys have been on the road for about 15 years together, isn't it?
That's true, yeah.
And during that process, like, your music would have changed as you got a little bit more mature. I won't say older.
Yeah.
Or should I say...
No, you're okay.
Older. Or should I say you got older and not use the word mature?
Yeah, it's more the former than the latter, right?
I mean, the music for us has always been rooted in the same thing, you know? I mean, we can't beat the traditional music of Newfoundland out of ourselves, even if we wanted to. You know, even when we write original songs, they're so rarely based in, you know, 12-bar blues or whatever. They're always story songs, you know, or... When you grow up in a culture that's as immersed in folk songs as Newfoundland and Labrador, it sticks with you. And even though I think we've all learned to play different instruments and have become, you know, more or less, you know, afraid to play them in a certain way or not, the core of what we do seems to always be rooted firmly in the songs from home.
Well, when you say that, what I found fascinating as I was reading your bio is that rooted in the songs of home seems to have an evolution in punk somewhere back there.
Well, for me personally, being the fellow who, you know, did both at the same time, punk for me, I mean, the aesthetic value behind that was about doing it yourself. It was about not paying any attention to what was important commercially.
Okay.
It was about playing shows for their own sake. It was about, you know, creating a music scene where none existed. And I still love the sort of power and aggression and speed and honesty that was part and parcel of that music. I don't have the same tolerance for loud amplifiers, but the desire of those guys, it was almost all guys, but the desire of those fellows I knew when I was a teenager to just do it was very similar to the traditional music, because traditional music in Newfoundland is not really a performance-based thing. It's more a case of participation.
Right.
People play music in lieu of listening to records or watching TV, and people didn't have to be good. They just had to do something. They had to contribute to the ambiance of the party. So traditional music was about pulling people in and participating. It wasn't about everyone sitting quietly listening to the virtuoso, you know. And to me, they're the obviously they sound really different, but they both came from the same place.
And of course, the background that you guys have and that I have is where there was a very strong tradition of handed down through what you say, people coming in together, sitting around in a kitchen, and music being passed down from generation to generation before TV took over and before some of the other distractions took over.
Yeah.
You would have had a strong influence from your backgrounds to that extent, that a lot of your music has strong, deep roots going back hundreds of years.
Yeah. We're lucky to be from a place that where music is incidental, you know, where it just is. It's not something you seek out or buy or you go buy a ticket to go into.
It belongs.
It just is, you know. And I remember being, I don't know, God, 10 or 11, before I really realized that, you know, not everyone in my, you know, maybe social circle that played and sang, you know, had a guitar, you know, for example, and that kind of thing. Just grew up in families and in towns that have songs that, you know, are basically little portraits of the history of the place. And until I traveled, like, when the band started in their 20s, I thought that was the case everywhere, right? You know, you go to, you know, Cleveland or whatever, you know, and you say, well, what are the folk songs of Cleveland? Like, what songs tell us about the, you know, because there's lots of stuff happened here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a river and there's flowers. There must be lake songs. And there probably were, but they've been forgotten. And, you know, Newfoundland is one of the few places in North America that's recorded its history and song and not forgotten it and actually kept them. And because of the isolation of the place, that, you know, we know them as, you know, kids born in, you know, I was born in 1969. And I know songs that, you know, my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather sang.
Well, when you bring a culture like that around the world, a bit like the Irish, there can be an acceptance or there can be a rejection. But you, as the performer, when you get up, and you're in a way, you're bearing your soul. You're bringing your what's something very precious for you.
And
you're putting
soul,
it out there.
You know,
yes.
And the soul of many people that came before you. And it's kind of an odd responsibility in a way.
Yeah, it's definitely, we feel a certain responsibility, but the reality is too, the context is gone. You know, the world we grew up in is gone. And that very few people, even in myself and Alan Shan, were lucky enough to grow up in families where people played music without performing music.
Okay.
There was instruments in my house, people came and went, they played at parties, or they didn't, but it wasn't formal, it wasn't important. You could play if you wanted, if you didn't want to, you'd go out in the backyard. It wasn't important in the sense of doing lessons and doing tests and this being part of your educational process. It was just there, the same way cooking was and cleaning and knitting. But the result of that is all the context of those stories, the multi-geographical and sociological and emotional meanings that came in all those old songs. We go out and perform them, they're just songs. You know, that context is gone. So we're conscious of these songs, what they meant, in a way that they'll never be for audience. And also, we knew the people that we learned them from, you know.
But in some places that you do go, you must connect on the basis that they can zone in and they can relate. And you must sense that.
Well, I often wonder if the places where we go where people are most interested aren't, you know, somehow fascinated with learning about a place that has nothing in common with their own. You know, I often think when we're touring in America that part of the appeal is that we're singing about this place that's kind of like Narnia or something, you know,
right.
this world that they've never seen. You know, some people grew up in, you know, the Midwest of the U.S. and here we are, you know, the same age as these people and stuff, and we're singing 500-year-old sea shanties about, you know, a shipwreck outside of Carbonear.
Yeah.
You know, I think that kind of thing is exotic to people and they're charmed by it.
Do you feel in any way that when you reach out with the depth and the history of your music that you're actually touching the history that some other people have but that they don't have something to connect with?
I'd like to think that at somewhere along the way we've made people look in their own backyards.
Right.
And that would be thrilling, you know, to think that.
Yeah.
People started to think, well, maybe, like, maybe there is another logging song in Northern Ontario that no one knows about, you know?
Right.
Because that's cool. There's little portraits of history that you know, that we all love to.
So on the new CD, how much, or is there any of it that's your own, coming from your own creation?
All of it is, really, to some degree. I mean, most of the songs we wrote or co-wrote, in fact, all of them, and there are traditional pieces on it, but also all the music is sort of, I mean, our goal in the beginning, if we had any kind of template, was to make pop music from the traditional music of Newfoundland, you know, instead
right.
of using blues or country or jazz, our template was going to be Newfoundland music. We're going to use the instruments and the rhythms and the way kind of language is used in Newfoundland. That was going to be our starting point. And that's the case now. Like, nothing has changed there. You know, we haven't found a better way to do it.
And I come back to what I kind of asked earlier on, then, as a group that has been around for 15 years in a maturing process, when you now sit down, be it at a keyboard or at a guitar or wherever, and the creative process happens, how you look in life today would be totally different than how you looked in life 15 years ago. And the end product that you produce would be totally different than you would have produced 15 years ago.
We learned a lot on this record about that very thing. You know, we learned that, certainly as a writer, I've come to be totally willing to write a song about a really tiny little thing. Whereas I think when you're young and you start writing songs, you think you have to change planet Earth, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a verse and a chorus, and you have to write a song that has some, you know, ephemeral meaning for the world, you know. And whereas, you know, you come to learn that some of the greatest songs are about something very simple.
A very, very painful emotion.
Yeah, and the or a dumb conversation,
yeah.
or somebody opening a door and someone didn't, you know, or whatever. And certainly the way we play our instruments, if we've learned anything, I think, in the last year doing this record, is to trust our instincts with them, you know, and to stop second guessing, and that, you know, the years of playing them has given us at least an education to have to make a couple of good choices anyway. But yeah, I think the older we get, the more spontaneous we're allowing ourselves to be.
Right. We'll take a little break and play a piece of music from the CD. And you are listening to The Gaelic Hour on 97.9 FM with Austin Cummerton. And I'm talking with Alan Doyle and Bob Hallett of Great Big Sea. And we'll be back after this piece of music.
Bully boys of Liverpool, and I'll have you all beware. When you sail on them package ships, no dungaree jackets wear. But have a big monkey jacket all ready to your hand. For there blows some cold nor'westers on the banks of Newfoundland. We'll scrape her and we'll scrub her with holy stone in hand. For there blows some cold nor'westers on the banks of Newfoundland. We had Jack Leach from Ballina Hinge, Mike Murphy and some more. And I'll tell you boys, well, they suffered like hell on the way to Baltimore. Hey, Pondergear in Liverpool, and they sailed as they did stand. Some cold nor'westers on the banks of Newfoundland. We'll scrape her and we'll scrub her with holy stone in hand. For there blows some cold nor'westers on the banks of Newfoundland.
and the fo'c'sle heard and loudly heed it roar. Trundler in me lucky lads, you're bound for America's shore. Come wipe the blood off the dead man's face and holla, you'll be damned. For there blows some cold nor'westers on the banks of Newfoundland.
We'll scrape our end, we'll scrub her with holy stone and sand. For there blows some cold nor'westers on the banks of Newfoundland.
Table and we'll spend the night below. And on the docks coming down in flocks, well, those pretty girls they will say, it's snugger with me than out on the sea on the banks of Newfoundland.
We'll scrape her and we'll scrub her with holy stone and sand. For there blows some cold nor'westers on the banks of Newfoundland.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. And that was, what did we listen to there, guys?
It was The Banks of Newfoundland, one of many songs called The Banks of Newfoundland. In fact, I know three separate pieces of music. I know a jig, a reel, and that song there. And there's two others that I don't know that I could just sing off the top of my head.
Right.
And they're all unrelated to. Yeah. Obviously, The Banks of Newfoundland was a very busy spot for tune writers and songwriters.
It was
and
a foreboding place. I wonder, it was kind of like, I get the feeling that the Newfoundland for, you know, 17th, 18th century sailors was like the horn or something.
Yeah,
you know?
That's Zorbalines.
Yeah.
You guys have a busy fall and winter lined up promoting the record.
Yeah, we're
that's
out,
on the horizon.
We're out in full force this summer doing some dates, and we're back here in the Ottawa area, actually on July 12th. And we play the Blues Fest, and then we go to July 11th, and then July 12th in Toronto. And we do a bunch of summer dates like that all around North America.
Okay.
In September, the tour proper starts, and we tour pretty much for 6 months.
And that's taking in North America? Or is
That's just North America. And then
right.
Later next summer, we'll go overseas.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a couple of years.
Right.
So I hope you like it.
Well, as long as you get an opportunity when you're on the road, actually, then see someone where you are rather than just bus to hotel to stage.
We always do, you know, if you're going to do this for 15 years, you have to embrace travel as not just an occasional passing fancy, but this is your lifestyle.
Yes.
You're going to spend huge chunks of your time in moving from one place to the next, often vast distances. So for us, I mean, the fascination of what's going on outside the window is never the novelty of that's never worn off. And our desire to inhale as much life as we possibly can is, again, not satiated at all.
And a group traveling together as close as you guys travel for 15 years can have its challenges.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's a lot of violence, really.
Really. we've learned ultimate fighting. Now, you know, the most important thing to all of us is to keep the band going.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to shag that up is to fall out.
Right.
You know, so we all do our very best to not fall out, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not really that hard most times because our goals are also the same, and you know, we all got at this to make a living,
right,
playing music, you know. And we didn't start the band to have the biggest sum of our lives and then shag off and go live in Spain somewhere, you know.
Right.
We wanted to be in this band for a living.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
it's in the blood.
Yeah.
Well, we started this band, it was like, for us it was like joining the army, you know. This wasn't going to be a we might like it, we might not. We signed up for the long haul, and we're delighted and feel very privileged that we have managed to keep it going this long. And hopefully this is the start of a long career rather than the end of a short one.
And that's a good note for us to wrap up and say, Alan Doyle and Bob Hallett,
well done.
Thanks a million for taking the time.
Thank you.
On the Gaelic Hour.
Cheers, indeed. Cheers.
We've come to the end of another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. Thank you for being with me. Do come back tomorrow night for our Canada Day edition. You heard Sean Keane and Home, Great Big Sea, and the Banks of Newfoundland, the Ludlows, and Sea Around Us, and in the background, Danny O'Connell and the Green Fields of Canada. I want to thank the Irish Village for their continued support. Without their help, this program would not be on the air, and this program will be available on the internet later on in the week at www.thegaelichour.ca. If you do want to reach me, my email address is austin@thegaelichour.ca. So until tomorrow night, slán go fóill.